The merry-go-round goes round and round. And I remember thinking I was on a merry-go-round. I mean, didn't we? My wife shaking her head, oh yeah. And I remember thinking, and these are things that I found out later, but I was saying these things. I feel like I'm hitting my head on something. And that pastor, it's his fault. It wasn't his fault. It's nobody's fault. Go to the wrong church if you want to. Go to any old church if you want to. Cry out to God. Find yourself in misery. He will answer you and tell you what to do, which is what he's been telling you to what to do from the day you got saved. I don't care how much information you learn. I don't care all the idiosyncrasies that are available today and all the different things. Run like the wind, I don't know, but when you get done and you find yourself in misery, he's going to tell you what he told you to do 10 years prior to that. And I'll bet you, now I'm not the voice of God in any way, but so far, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or not, does it not put you in a chair alone in a dark room praying in the Holy Ghost? Convincing yourself the whole time that you can do this while driving down the road. I can do this while driving, mowing the grass. You know what? The grass is kind of tall. I don't even cut grass at my house. And it got tall one day. It's like, man, that grass is tall. I got to see if the lawnmower runs good. So Gail had no problem out there. Don't shake your head at me. She likes cutting grass. She really does. And my job is to keep the lawnmower running. Mavis cuts grass too. She was out there one day cutting grass, and it was a mower I bought from Homer. I noticed it was smoking, but I was in one of those moods I just wasn't going to take the care. I said, the grass, I don't care. The mower's smoking, I don't care. And then boom, the mower blew up. I'm thinking, man. And that's why he said he sold it to me. That's a brand new lawnmower. I mowed 2 or 3 acres with it every week for years. We ran that thing to pieces. It's like 101. Jazz it up, dress it up, paint it up, turn it up. When you get done, 101 is the same as 100-fold. Fasting doesn't change. You can change fasting, but fasting doesn't change. And what it gives you doesn't change. It's always the same thing. You can fast 50,000 different ways because you don't want to. It does one thing, it gives you one thing. It might give you multiple things, I don't know. I'll find out one day. Make it past lunchtime. You know, I can go to work. I can work all day long and not eat. Monday, Wednesday, Friday are fasting days. About 10 o'clock. Man. Turns into a battle. Like, it's not good to have all that stomach acid chewing a hole in your stomach. That's not healthy. Maybe I should drink some milk. Put some Cheerios in it. Don't laugh, I know you've done it. I'm trying to encourage you to fast. Not supposed to be honest about such things. But yeah, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Whether I can or can't, try real hard, I fast. Whether I fail or don't, it makes no difference. And I don't take no care for it at all. I don't make it, I mess up, I go crazy, I don't care. Makes no difference to me. It is what it is. I can't change it. It can change me if I can get through it. Worship. That's where I'm at right now. Sitting in a chair in a dark room. I had to buy a $500 chair to sit in a room and worship. I have no money, but I bought a $500 chair to worship. It is comfortable too. Very nice. Got no groceries, but I got a $500 chair. And I am definitely fasting. I think after Thursday it might be. It's all right. But worship. Worship 101 is worship 100-fold. Feel it, don't feel it. Breakthrough. I've had breakthroughs in worship. I've had dry times, whatever. It's still, I love you, Jesus. And that's something, you know, that I can say. You have to say what works for you. I used to imitate what was on the tapes because, you know, I just heard the tape so many times because I wanted to worship. So I listened to the teaching like 50 times. I like to assimilate stuff. I don't like just to hear something once and then take off, you know, with my own strength. I really want to have the essence of it in there. I want to pray in tongues over it. And I don't want to fail. I mean, that's all. I mean, not that it's anything fancy. I just, you know, it was just what was being taught, you know. Assimilate. Listen to it over and over again. I tell you what, the best day of my life was like 10 years ago. We go into a Dollar Tree and they have all the books of the Bible separate on CDs for a dollar. The guy who narrated it had a real nice voice. It was one of the best ones I ever heard. I didn't even have that much money. We couldn't even buy them all. It was only a dollar. But I bought the ones I could. I got Romans, James, Ephesians, Galatians, a few others. I forget what all there was. Some of them are gone now. Some of them are on my old computer and it crashed and that was sad. But I'd spent 6 months with Romans. Well, I had Hebrews too. I spent 6 months with Hebrews. Rode down the road, listened to it, got home, read it. You know, whenever I could. Read it, listened to it. You know, I didn't expect to get anything out of it. I don't care. It's the Bible. I can't help what it does, and I can't stop what it does. I can't stop what praying in tongues gives me. I can't stop what worship gives me. I can't, unless I don't do it. And that's the only thing. The only thing that matters is if you don't do it. So if you've got a doctrine that says don't pray, you got a doctrine that's telling you to backslide. You've got a heresy that is telling you to backslide, and you are backsliding if that's what you're doing, and you will backslide. And the beauty of backsliding is, those of you who are listening on the internet, because nobody in this room is backsliding, is that you will find yourself in misery, just like the Bible says, because it is true. And that misery is a litmus test to tell you that you better change something quick, buddy, because you're about to go down. And you will go down. But if there's, like most people, if you've prayed a little and you've gotten a little bit, don't stop now. You can get to a place to where it's so hard to backslide. But that's why heresy is such a stupid thing. Oh my gosh. Because you can live in it and you can swim in it. And you will backslide while you are in it. And you won't even... And you'll justify yourself because you're doing something. You'll say to yourself... You won't even say to yourself, because I don't even know if you could hear. Because you're busy doing. Usually it's when you stop and you start thinking about what you're doing. The Holy Spirit has 30 seconds to tell you, please stop doing what you're doing and do what I told you to do. If you even know what he told you to do. Take off again. Very few chances for the Holy Spirit to get in people's lives because they're just, we got our minds made up. We got it figured out. I mean, why do you think we argue? That's why we argue, because we have it figured out. And while we have it figured out, even if it is truth, I promise you the Holy Spirit is having a hard time talking to you because you want to argue. And there's a spirit of debate that is trying to make entrance into your life. Arguing about truth is dumb. If it's truth, you don't need to argue about it. Just do it. Who cares? I promise you, nobody cares. No one really cares what you're doing. Nobody cares if you live, die, or whatever. The world does not care. But you're going to care. You're going to care when this life is over. You're going to care a great deal. You're going to care when you stand in front of him and you got your eyes closed and you tremble because you're not really sure because you just got there. You're like, it's such a clean, crisp place standing before your Lord, and you want to have him touch you and tell you to look behind you and to see your neighborhood, your friends, your family, Immokalee. You want him to show you more than just yourself. And you will care a great deal about your friends and neighbors then for a moment. It won't be long. He'll have to wash all that out of you, of course. And you won't like that part. The part where you weep and you grind your teeth because the agony of it, of what you, life is so short. You wake up one day and you're old, older, getting older. It zips along at a speed that's almost incredible. It's being wasted as we breathe, or it's not. There's one little simple thing that you can do that can keep it from being wasted. Keeping yourself in his bosom, and that's not a emotional feeling. That is not a daydream of sorts. That is praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the one that he sent that's just like him. That if you will live a life of surrender, surrender you cannot do in and of yourself. You cannot say, I choose to surrender. You cannot say, Holy Spirit, pray a prayer, blah, blah, I'm surrendering. It means nothing. Our words mean nothing. He fellowships with the part of us that has changed, that is changing. That's who he comes and can, that's the entrance. That part of us that's changing doesn't debate anymore, doesn't argue, doesn't defend, doesn't have to, you know. I mean, when your money's gone and you look like a bum, what are you going to do? You're going to be embarrassed to go to church because you smell? When your car passed, you had to push it here. I mean, what are you going to do? What's important? Do you want to be like Paul? To where when you have nothing, it doesn't matter? You can't pray a prayer and God come fix it. Once he's given you the do, you got to do. You got to start praying in the Holy Ghost. And you got to keep doing it. Stop for a while, go back, because that's what he, that's all there is to do. It's time to worship. Turn the radio down. Turn it down a little more. You and him. Whatever season you're at, I don't know. The church is in trouble, folks. The church is dying. They're not to be argued with. They're not to be debated with. And they're not to be outshined. Let them shine. Let them do their thing. Go find that place. Please, I beg you. There's not one thing that this world has to offer that will satisfy you ever. No amount of self-worth and accomplishment. I have 12 businesses. Woo! 13 accountants. Woo! I have words that don't fall to the ground. That's what you have. You have the ability to go into a room and take charge by not saying a single word, saying nothing. You want to know why you're in charge when you walk in a room? Because the angels know who walked in that room. The devils know who walked in that room. Somebody who is shining bright in that other dimension. In the natural, you look just like everybody else. It's perfect. That's what you want. You don't want a big pointy hat. It says, I'm God's gift. Here I come. Because then everybody looks to you and says, speak. That's not what you want. There's one person in every room that has to have something said to them at the right time. There always is. He'll show you on the way. I was driving a few years back. Jesus did what he saw the Father doing. He did not walk in the room and say, hey folks, Jesus is here. Of Nazareth. Nope. Wear a little thing with a little white gizmo so I know who you are, because they don't respect you anyway. Driving down the road. All of a sudden I see it. What the Father was going to do when I got to where I was going. I was so excited. I thought, oh, this is good. Because, you know, you want to preach the gospel. You want to be more than what you see. You want to be more than this. I mean, whatever this is. But I know it's going to be real hot in here. I had to warm my shorts. It's cooled down now, though. It's not too bad. A few people still have a fan. Saw myself, table, person, you know. I saw just how it would play out, how it would be. So, obviously, I wait on that, right? Which is what I did. I walked in, all kinds of people, big gathering. Hey, you know, mingle, eat. Find the person, and I'm kind of watching them out of the corner of my eye. About 20 minutes later, there they sit. I'm like, ha ha, let's see what happens next. He even told me what to do and not to say what I was doing, not to say or explain. And now that I know later, after hearing what they said had happened in their life, I don't even know if they put the two together. I don't think they did. I did. Because I knew what he told me he was doing and not to tell them what he was doing. I thought, okay. So we're sitting there at the table. Can I hold your hand? Yes. You know, this is a Christian person, so this wasn't, you know, like, you want to hold my hand? Some people, you know, I've done that before, like, can I just hold your hand like this, you know, to pray? They're like, what? And I just released what I was carrying with me, what came right out of my spirit. And they're like, well, what, you know? Wanted a prophecy or something, you know? I'm like, no, I said, I released to you what I was carrying. He showed me this and I did what he told me to do and you'll be better for it. You know, tell me something. I got nothing to say. A little while later, find out. This person had never fallen in a prayer line before. Ever. And hung around the most spiritual of them all, and a very spiritual person, prayed in tongues, fasted long fast, read the word. I mean, gift of prophecy, you know, very, very strong rooted believer. Very quiet person mostly. Generally has nothing to say ever. Not out of false humility, just, you know, don't need to because you're not listening. That's not what she says, but I know that's why most people aren't listening. So you just don't go throwing stuff out there they don't want to hear because you don't want them to develop an adversement, you know, being adverse to, I don't know if that's the right word, being contrary in their heart to the truth when they do need to hear it. That's why you don't want to be out just rambling about stuff, you know, grabbing people, yeah, pray in tongues. Tell them when it's time to tell them, don't tell them at all. Because if their heart's not ready and receptive, even though you're saying what seems to be true, you're building something in them that'll make them resist it later. Which is weird, but. She goes, you aren't going to believe this. I got in a prayer line and whoosh, you know, down I went. I've never fallen before. And I knew that's what happened. What I saw and I did, and it was kind of fun, you know. Worst thing was is, you know, before this, miserable as can be, I have money, not a lot of money, but I have enough money to live where I didn't have to worry about where food was going to come from, car payments or anything. Things were taken care of for a season. Somebody hands me Dave's book, and at that time, you know, my reading comprehension level wasn't so good. I almost had to know what I was reading before I read it to understand what I was reading, if that makes any sense. It's like, oh man. If I'm holding this book, it means absolutely nothing to me. And I know that's how most people feel when you hand them something like that. It's like you really got to pray, you know, give them a tape with the gospel on it, or to give them a book with the gospel in it. You know, you're thinking, oh, well, the Bible's the best book, you know. Well, yeah, but it takes a long time to extract the gospel from the Bible. Well, just read the gospels. Well, that's not the gospel. Those are the gospels. That is not the foundation of the gospel, though. You need the foundation of the gospel, and you need it from somebody. They need it from somebody they respect. You need it from somebody that you can respect. You know, I had to find somebody that I respected that I knew could read it and it regurgitate it back to me almost instantly. But I knew somebody like that, so I did. I said, read this, tell me what it is. Before they even read it, they started prophesying because I knew they had the gift of prophecy, so I respected that in them too. We're flaky people. Everything you've been looking for is in this book. Why would the Holy Ghost say that? I thought the Bible had everything in it. Well, this was just a simple explanation of what I needed to be doing. You know, the 101s of a few things. 101 this, 101 that. You know how much word you'd have to read, assimilate? You'd have to assimilate the entire New Covenant while praying in tongues. And then begin to assimilate the old covenant to get the contrast. And you'd be praying in tongues accidentally because nobody told you to. Okay, for 20, 30 years. before you even begin, okay, begin to uncover what we affectionately call foundation stones. Because they are buried. They're not buried in the earth. They are buried over mountains of thought, generations of religious thought that have been passed down through the dark ages and just compounded, and in our teachings, in our mannerisms, in how we walk, talk, eat, shop, grumble, complain, the whole thing. We've learned for 2,000 years how to be contrary to the gospel from 70 AD on, 100 AD after death. Right from the beginning, it just started piling in, piling in. There's a favorite teaching among people who don't want to do what we're doing. And it sounds interesting. A friend told me this. He said, I'm studying under, and no, I don't know. Seemed fine to me, I guess. Studying under a rabbi who studied under a rabbi. I am studying under 180 years of accumulated knowledge. And I just asked him, I said, well, do you pray in tongues a lot? I was just curious. I don't know. It was what popped out of my mouth. I wasn't trying to be, you know. Yeah. We believe in praying in tongues, you know. I said, well, do you? I was curious how y'all do it, you know, because you're Messianic. I said, he wanted to talk about the accumulated knowledge and what that had value to. Understanding of too much assimilation of the old covenant, I thought. But I'm like, okay. But you know, if you want to be puffed up, there's plenty of puffing to be done. There's stuff out there that will puff you up to where you will float away. You can start your own Puff the Magic Dragon church if you want. I mean, there's just so much out there. My prayer is that everybody that's ever walked into this building will quickly find themselves in places of misery instead of wasting their life trying things, experimenting with nothing, experimenting with idleness, experimenting with heresy. I mean, how many years can you... I mean, think of it like this. Most Christians, everything's here, right? Point to the top of my head. Everything's here. I believe this and that and the other thing. It's all right here in the head. What do you, you know, there's 50,000 different versions of that. What does that do? You know everything the devil knows. He invented half of that stuff that they know. Well, and even if he didn't, knowing it is irrelevant. I read a book when I was younger on fixing something, because I was always having to fix everything. And because I got saved, there was a separation that kind of took place between me and my family because of obvious reasons. No more drinking, no more carousing, no more talking junk, no more staying out late. And I only knew one thing, how glorious it was to not be sitting in a room at 3 o'clock in the morning staring out the window. I don't even know what I was trying to say. Oh, that's right. I was reading a book on fixing stuff. Do you know that that information was useless to me? Even though I tried? It's no different than knowing the gospel. Memorizing the whole Bible, having 180 years of accumulated knowledge from whoever. Without someone to hold your hand, and I mean it that way, just to stand there with you, know like this. That's all right. It's not pretty, but you got the general idea. Let me show you what it looks like when, you know, you do it with skill. You know, a little soldering. Got it too hot, the solder just runs off. Got it too cold, solder didn't melt. Not enough flux, it didn't clean, it solder won't stick. You know, it's real simple now. Warm it up, zoop, you know. I was 11, 12 years old. We had a vacation house on a lake in North Carolina. We built it ourselves, hammered every nail, field stone around the outside. It was a hodecagon, I think. So when you put the rock on, it looked round. All the corners disappeared. It became, you know, quite nice. Second floor was similar but smaller. Master bedroom with bathroom. Dad showed me how to solder, because we come back and if you didn't get all the water out of the copper pipes, we wouldn't be there for winter time, and it would burst places, and we didn't know where that would burst at until you turned the water on, and then psh, you know, here it comes through the sheetrock. Oh, quick, turn it off, you know. Run up there and put a pan under it, and showed me how to get the water out, you know. Showed me how to solder, not get it too hot. Kingdom of God is no different. The Holy Spirit is one just like Jesus. He's come to hold your hand through all of this. And if He's not holding your hand and teaching you, the chances of you succeeding and being self-taught are real slim. I mean, you listen to what's being taught out there. There'll be a little point that's right on, 50 things that aren't. This is right on, but boy, the rest of it. It's not exactly true, but boy, I really like this part. If you'll notice that the people that pray in tongues excessively and teach, they teach exceptionally well. There's a lot of perfection in what's being taught, to where listen to it 10 years later and you're not thinking about throwing it away and erasing it because you've changed. That is the thing that I find most interesting. Most, I mean, maybe even myself included, because I used to teach a Bible study. I hope that, I'm glad they didn't record any of it, because I don't know what I was saying. And I'm glad it wasn't recorded, because it would have been needing to be thrown away. Oh yeah, it's encouraging, you know, yeah, yeah, pat you on the back, yeah, you did good. But there's a teacher out there. And that's what I'm trying to say. Unless He's teaching you, you're teaching yourself. And it may or may not turn out good. Anyway, I've kept you here long enough. I'm going to put the offering baskets out. And Mavis is going to put something on. I hope it's not too shocking, but I guess she can do what she wants. She knows. And we'll do that, and then you can say hi, and then you can leave. Okay? Father, I just thank You for this. I thank You for Your abundance. in such a small place that you can find so much. Father, just ask you to visit everyone where they are. As they open their hearts, do what you do best. Say what needs to be said. Change what needs to be changed. Remind them, remind me, remind all of us what's next, what we should be doing, what we've neglected. And I bless everyone in the name of Jesus. Have a good night.